Lot talked about yesterday and this morning again on the back of Damien Hardwick's decision to stand down after his time at the Tigers. 307 games, three premierships, 13 and a half years in the big chair at Richmond. It's on the back of Alistair Clarkson standing down last week, of course, for very, very different reasons, but the pressure of coaching has never been tougher. Paul Roos knows a fair bit about that. Premiership coach himself has been good enough to join us on the line to discuss that and a whole lot more. Roosy, good morning.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm going very, very well. What did you think when you first heard the news that Damien Hardwick was going to pull the pin at round 10 throughout the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's a surprise, but then I suppose you rationalise it and you sort of think, well, he's been there a long period of time and he always seemed to be a guy that was very thoughtful in terms of what he was going to do, what he could give the Richmond Football Club. And, you know, it is a long period of time and sometimes it just feels right, you know, to step away. And I know I went through that. The succession plan with John Longmire had another year, and then I went to Melbourne. So, yeah, it's really hard to get inside someone's head completely. But surprise initially, but then, you know, after thinking through it and, you know, all the reports and so forth, it's probably not that surprising.
So having a succession plan and knowing there's an end date, is that a can that be a real positive thing for a coach, particularly someone like you who's been around for quite some time and did a lot of the hard yards to get to that point, but knowing that there's an end date rather than a floating sort of timeline?
Yeah, it certainly helped me. I can only speak for myself. But, you know, when I sort of decided to step down and had another 12 months, you know, I was getting towards the stage. I was still enjoying what I was doing, but I felt like there was an end point and I needed to be aware of that. So I went to the club and I said, look, you know, I'm going to step down. And they said, look, can you coach another year? I said, yeah, look, that was my plan anyway. And then they decided to put Johnny Longmire, which is great. So look, for both of us, it worked extremely well and it worked really well at the Melbourne Football Club as well. And I think from a senior coaching point of view, it did. It gives you a little bit of breath of life. It gives you a chance to upskill another coach that's coming in, a bit of excitement for the players, knowing that there's a new coach coming, but the old coach is still there. So I think there's a lot of positives around it if it's done in the right way.
Is it becoming more management than ever, do you reckon, the world of AFL coaching? You're seeing Kenny Hinkley rejuvenated on the boundary line where you really can't see too much of the game, so you're dealing with the players and managing emotion and keeping connection. We've seen a lot of coaches down the last couple of years on the bench trying to have that level of intimacy with the players, I suppose, throughout the game, and becomes more management than strategy and structure and coaching. Is that sort of where it's going?
Yeah, I think if you're... To be a good coach, you have to be a good manager and have really good self-awareness. I think that's a really big part of it now. I mean, my time at Sydney was probably a little bit different because you're a young coach and you're actually trying to do the X's and O's. But as I got towards the end of that, I realised getting good senior coaches, assistants around you was, and then going to Melbourne was very much a management role. I think if you can't manage now and you haven't got great self-awareness, you're not going to be a successful coach.
Mm. Yep, no, that's probably fair. And you look at the ones who have succeeded in recent years, they seem to have the best awareness and emotional intelligence too, from what we can see from afar. Anyway, what about the job itself and the pressure that everyone's under? We hear about soft cap challenges and what that's done to footy departments and load on coaches, but also just the scrutiny and the coverage of the game. We saw Alistair Clarkson walk away last week for very, very different and unique reasons. And then Damien Hardwick, after 13 and a half years, saying mid-season to pull the pin. Is it, do you reckon, harder to coach than ever in the modern game?
Yeah, and look, depending on the club you're at, but if you look at the media is certainly a massive industry now, isn't it? I mean, you and I know that, having worked in and I've coached, and you've coached in the AFLW as well. I mean, the media is a massive industry. And in some way, shape or form, there's sort of now a disconnect a little bit between the game and the media. You know, the media is a business. You know, it's not just about the Carlton-Collingwood game on the weekend. It's about what comes out of that game, what comes out of the Richmond game. So the media are now looking for stories outside of what it was 30, 40 years ago when I started playing. So that's dramatically different. But what hasn't changed? Yeah, the numbers have changed because there was 12 teams and now there's 18 teams. But 9 teams have to lose every weekend and only one team can win the premiership. So that hasn't changed, if that makes sense. So Suddenly you've got pressure on teams that are rebuilding that you never really had before. Even though the media think they're not going to win, there's still a story when they don't win. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that's happened in the last sort of 10 or 15 years. And then I think that the free agency's created difficulties for bottom teams as well. Then now you've got Tassie coming in and, yeah, the complexities of the game has never been greater. You mentioned COVID, you mentioned the soft cap, you know, all those sorts of things. So, yeah, look, there's no question now, you know, it's way more difficult to coach than when I started at the end of 2000 or midway through 2002.
Have you heard from some of your contemporaries and mates that are still in the business about the soft cap impact and the stress and strain that adds to their load?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, it's common sense to sort of say if we haven't got as many staff and as many resources, then we can't service the players enough, sort of thing. So, you know, talking to friends regularly that are still in the business, you know, it is very difficult. I mean, the other thing that's become hard too is, and this is probably more for the bottom teams, that the players association, the players aren't there as often now. So it becomes really difficult to improve, and that's certainly a problem. I know in speaking to some of the coaches from the bottom teams, they just don't get access to the players enough. And the fans don't really understand that now. But the players have enormous amount of time off, and that was a really great frustration of mine going to Melbourne Footy Club. You know, they now have 3 weeks off at Christmas. They have multiple weeks off. They have half days off here and there. They have four-day breaks, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're a fan of a bottom club, often the lack of development is because the players just aren't at the club often enough to improve, you know, at the rate that the fans demand.
Yeah, right. That's a great insight. The great Paul Roos with us from Hawaii, just by the way, talking about the world of footy back here in Melbourne town on the back of Damien Hardwick standing down yesterday. Just on that timeline stuff from a coaching perspective, is there a window you've got, you reckon? You've been through it a few times. Is there a window you've got at a club before you start to get a little bit stale, in your experience?
Look, it's funny because when I was playing, and I formulated this plan half when I was playing, I sort of said, if I ever coached, I reckon 7 or 8 years. I don't know. That was the timeline I sort of put on myself. And that was before I even knew I was going to coach, to be honest. And again, that sort of predicated a little bit on potentially not winning a premiership. Now, I think I could have lasted longer in Sydney because we did win the premiership in 2005. But that was the timeline. It was sort of 8 years, 8.5 years, and 7 years is when I... So that was in my head, you know. Now, obviously, Damien won a premiership and Clarko did. And I think the ones you can sort of reset after winning a premiership, Johnny Longmire, et cetera, et cetera. But in my head, that was probably, and I don't know why, I don't know, you played as well, Arf. Maybe it's just that I got sick of coaches. Not that I had coaches for that long, but, you know, I sort of had in my head, it was about that 7 or 8 year mark without success. Now, with success, is, as I said, is a different kettle of fish. And we've seen Damien, you know, three premierships, being an incredibly successful coach. But but probably from a point of view, yeah, you've got to be aware of the players are listening to you time and time again. It's a little bit different now because you've got assistant coaches. But certainly my view was about that 7 or 8 years without the success of a premiership.
That's interesting insight, I reckon. It's good to hear someone who's been through it talking about that. And what about your mate Ross? He's taken the job at the Saints. He's going gangbusters. So you been in touch with Rosco?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I sort of try and leave the coach to Ryan during the season because I text him every now and then and tell him well done and give him a bit of advice every now and then. But no, you tend to leave him alone because you know how special we just talked about that sort of thing. But look, it's not surprising because, you know, when you go back on his time at St Kilda the first time, you know, he's been an incredibly successful coach there. He took 3 out of grand final as well. So his pedigree is very, very strong. So the fact that he came in and is doing what he's doing is not surprising. He's a very good coach. And I think also on the back of Brett Ratton, I think Brett and Ross would acknowledge that as well. I think Brett did some really good stuff for that footy club, set them up around the contest. They're a really hard team. They're a physical team. They tackle really well. They win contested ball, and that's on the back of Brett Ratton. So I think if you're going to come in on the back of a coach, certainly Rats is one that you would love to come back in on. Not that you'd ever want to replace a coach, but if that makes sense. I thought Brett set them up in a lot of areas, particularly, you know, their hardness around the footy.
How's the weather in Hawaii, Rosie?
I'm always reluctant to talk to Melbourne people about the weather in Hawaii, huh? Yeah, do you want to give me your weather first and
well,
go back with mine?
No, it's gorgeous currently. It's a bit fresh in the mornings, but it's gorgeous at the moment.
Yeah, well, we're only at 26 degrees here.
Oh, so. You poor fella. don't know how you do it. Don't know how you do it every day, mate. But we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. Nice to chat as always. Take care.
Good on you, mate. Thanks a lot.